Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Craig Doyle and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today, we're in Germany for round 9 of the season from Sachsenring. Here is how the race was won.
So then, here's Dovi attacking Scott Reynolds. Scott Redding as they come down turn 11 into turn 12, two bends from the end. But the man who's going to cross the line is the magnificent Marc Marquez to win the German Grand Prix. He rolls over majestically for the win in front of his team. And it's going to be Cal Crutchlow of Great Britain and the Isle of Man that comes to the line to take a fantastic second place. Dovizioso thwarts Scott Redding on those intermediate tyres. Lucio Cecinello is absolutely ecstatic, as will that very small team. Through comes Ian One for fifth place. Danny Pedrosa gets it in the end from magnificent
Good
Jack Miller.
Good result from Jack Miller, seventh place.
Coming up, the views of Neil Hodgson, Colin Edwards and all the protagonists from race day. But first, what did Julian Ryder and Keith Hewan make of the racing?
Got to say that the Sachsenring, there was a lot of debate going on about the German Grand Prix and coming back to this part of East Germany, Jules. It never actually fails to deliver. It has a great retro feel about it for enthusiasts, for historians and most of all for motorbike people.
Don't start me. The history seeps out of every pore of every building around this part of the world. This is an area that wants a Grand Prix, loves having a Grand Prix, and we love coming here.
Far as the racing's concerned, I mean, when we turned up, I mean, it was actually right on cue, wasn't it? The weather forecast said we had a lovely day on Saturday. Everybody got a chance to qualify and have a good old ride round. But then we've got to race day.
Rainey said this years ago, this is a place where, in the wet, the satellites, or whatever we called them back then, private bikes, can beat you.
Well, they used to say about it being a great leveller as well, the wet, didn't they? But I don't think that levelling isn't quite so...
Not quite, no.
It's not quite the same anymore, is it? They are quite equal anyway now. Everybody's quite equal right across the board. Even the... Well, you've got Hector Barbera, who, if we move on to MotoGP, I mean, Hector Barbera qualifying in the middle of the front row, the best Ducati. I mean, that is just remarkable on a two-year-old motorbike.
And as Hector was keen to remind us in the press conference Saturday night, top Ducati in the championship.
That's going to
hurt. On brackets, the oldest Ducati in the championship.
Gigi Zalinia doesn't look quite so smug nowadays, does
No,
he?
There's a few strained faces amongst Ducati management when Hector launched that one.
Yeah, I will think there's going to be even more strained faces when the world champion that they've signed for next year, Jorge Lorenzo, is performing in the manner that he is at the moment. I mean, if his head has exploded this much at this time of the season, imagine what it's going to be like when they've got to sort a Ducati out around him for next year.
Worry.
That's going to run at the moment. Jorge's got a lot to come back from. I mean, he had a disaster this weekend. He had one in Assen last weekend. You know, he was knocked out of Catalunya courtesy of Andrea Iannone.
Dovi would be very upset if you...
But, I mean, he really has. The wet weather has destroyed him.
We go back to Assen 2013 when he broke his collarbone there in free practice, came back and rode after going home for an operation. Remarkable. And we all went, what a hero.
Fifth place.
Then he came here for the next race, fell off, bent the plate in his collarbone.
Ouch.
And had to go away and have another repair. So, yeah, Assen's got ghosts for Jorge, but this place has too. Jorge, as you say, lost. And Valentino, as at Misano last year, ignored his pit board, telling him to come in. And I understand, I've not had this confirmed, that they had intermediates on his bike. And he came in at the same time as Crutchlow and Dovi, who ended up on the rostrum.
Anything else that was particularly interesting? We had the big intermediates debate again, didn't we? Were they worth putting on or not? Scott Redding eventually found that they weren't. He did say that were they wrong at the time? I don't quite know what that means because it's a statement that was defeated by the result. fourth place though for Scott Redding, a great finish for him, but you just wonder whether he could have held on better if he had slicks on it.
I think the only inter that we could say maybe worked was Dovi had an inter front on but a slick rear, and that might have been a smart choice.
Did Valentino end up with
I'm told that's why he went backwards to eighth place or wherever he ended up, and the men he came out the pit with, you know, line astern, yes, he lost a A few bike lengths. He went out right behind Crutchlow and Dovi. They went out in a pack.
They pay many millions of dollars to actually make up that time.
Yes, you are absolutely right on that.
So get your pit strategy right.
Yeah, however, he then went backwards while Crutchlow and Dovi went forwards.
Crutchlow rode fantastic.
Brilliantly.
You know, he can be an abrasive, awkward, overconfident little what's
Oh, I've never met an awkward motorcycle racer.
But I tell you what, all of his gob from yesterday was justified, wasn't it? He said, I was the fourth fastest man.
And he backed that up today, and you cannot argue with that.
That's what I like about sport.
Yeah.
You know, you do the business, you can say what you like.
This piece of paper here seems to prove I was right.
Nothing like a checkered flag, is there? Indeed. And we wish him well, of course, with his impending fatherhood. Him and Lucy are due.
And I think they'll be great parents, those two. We look forward to meeting the offspring and hope to God it's got Lucy's looks. What about, Keith, Moto2, which we haven't really touched on? And I think I need to underline my absolute admiration for the way Johann Zarco goes about his work.
Last year we asked the question about this time of the year when we got to the summer break, whether he'd come back and be... But he was immaculate again. He didn't look like being beaten. He was prepared to stick it in when he needed to. He had both the bravery and the pace that he needed to do the job.
And he did. Okay, Folger's desperate for win on home soil. He could have just let him have a bit of room, conceded the 5 points. No way.
Nah, he'd got that covered, hadn't he? Although I must admit that I thought Folger might just have had that with that short finish line just there. Yeah. Those two teammates next year, of course, in Tech 3 on MotoGP, that's a big deal too.
Oh, all of a sudden it looks like Hervé Poncharal knows what he's doing, doesn't it?
Hervé lamenting the fact that he couldn't sign what he thought was top-line riders, and he's got those two next year.
Yeah. The one he wanted to sign was on his backside early in the sand pit. Unfortunately, also, Sam Lowes, I'm afraid, did the same thing. Just doesn't get on with his track.
No, he hasn't got on here at all. But that really, when you look at the points table now, Sam Lowes, he's got a proper struggle. I mean, 25 points between
Rins and Zarco. And another 5 points back. And Sam's still well in touch with Rins, but Zarco is going, if he's going back down to the south of France, back home and heading for a beach for 3 weeks, he'll be doing it with a smile on his face.
Moto3 came up with the goods, as it always does. Enjoyed that.
Moto3 was fabulous. Good to see the Mahindras with the new gearbox and the confidence in John McPhee back for the first time.
I thought my voice had gone. When he hit the front.
I thought you'd gone, mate. I thought that was it. I'm doing the rest on my own.
It's the end of my larynx. It's half sticking out in front of me.
I saw it leaving.
But McPhee in the end got swallowed up. But whatever happens.
Hey, still a season best.
Indeed. And you've got to say, confidence-wise, we keep talking about this summer break.
So all that's left to say is, quote Fonzie Nieto from all those years ago, we can go happy to the holidays.
We must catch up with Honda's main man, Livio Supa, who I'm sure is absolutely beaming at the moment. Livio, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Great performance, not just from Marc Marquez, but from the team as well. A real team effort today.
Well, I think the team effort has been sure. The mechanics rebuilding the bike after the crash. The bike that crossed the line was the bike that crashed this morning. So they've done a very good job, and the bike was working perfectly. And, you know, at the end in the race, Mark did the real job, because I don't think it was easy in that moment to be out with the slick tires, but he was struggling so much with the wet tires that he decided to come back quite soon, quite early. And, you must be Mark to do something like that.
So it was his call. People at home are asking, was it Mark's call to come in? Did you put something on his pit board?
You know, usually in this situation, are the riders that understand if it's moment to come back or not. We saw Iannone leaving with the intermediate. But his lap time was not that good at the beginning, so it was really a big gamble, let's say. But again, if you have the talent of Mark, you can manage this kind of things.
When he came in, what were your thoughts? What were your feelings at that time?
You know, in this kind of race, it's so difficult to predict if it's the right moment or not. As we have seen with Espargaró, it was a very, very tricky moment, tricky situation. He crashed immediately because, especially the first part of the season, the track was still quite wet. So, you know, you cross your finger and you hope he can manage it.
Such a quick change as well. I know you guys practiced that as a team. There's the real team effort there.
Yeah,
as well.
Like in Italy we say he's like a cat. He jumps from one bike to the other like a cat. And it's a small advantage here and there, but you know, at the end he's on track, it makes the real difference.
It seems we're seeing a smarter Marc Marquez this year. He's not chasing down the 25-pointers all the time, happy getting a second or third place. He seems to have the bigger picture. Is that coming from him? Is that coming from you,
Well, if you look at the risk he took today.
yeah.
I don't think today was on the safe mode. He took a big risk. But he felt it was okay to do it, and I think he's more mature compared with last year. He has learned a lot in the mistakes of last year, and he's very young. He has won already twice the championship, so people forget how young he is, but still he can build up experience and he can be even stronger.
I'm sure the guys here have lots of questions for you, but I know you're working on, just quickly, you had a new chassis in there, new engine in there, so you had a lot on your mind already coming into the Sachsenring this weekend, didn't you?
An engine we cannot change, so we will have to...
Well, you had one of the new sealed engines in there that Mark was talking about. Yeah,
anyway, there's always something new to work on, and the season is still very long, but it's better than last year.
Good stuff, boys.
Hey, Livio, okay, so I saw Marquez off in the gravel trap. What was it, 12 laps, 13 laps into the race? I thought, race is over. Somebody else is going to win. Did you have the same feeling or no?
Well, with Marco, you never know.
No, that's what I'm saying. How did he still do it?
And if you... The difficult thing is, in that moment, for example, Carl, that was with a harder front tire, wet rain tire, was very fast. So it was very difficult to understand if the harder compound... Wet would have been able to finish the race. So in that moment, yeah, it was difficult to understand.
And I'm quite interested. Are you frustrated with the sort of the press that Honda get? People saying, the bike is terrible. The bike is this, the bike is that. He's leading the world championship by 48 points.
Yeah, in reality, he's Mark leading the championship. In the Constructor Championship, we are second by 1 point at the moment.
Yeah,
it means
on the
bike is growing.
Exactly, on the terrible motorcycle.
In the last two races, we had the two satellite bike on the podium. Jack won in Assen, and Cal is second here. In this track, I think our bike was not that bad at all. For sure, there's something to improve, but... We have to remember that we change a lot the bike this year, the engine, and of course the new electronics. So I think step by step the engineers are doing a good job.
And what is that area? What is that the main area now you're trying to improve?
Always riders, the main complaint of the riders, especially Danny, is that the bike always try to go wide in the corner. It's difficult for him to keep the line. And we are working on that. And so losing basically the acceleration, as they always said. So that's the main area we are trying to improve.
Can I have a quick word on Cal and your view on Cal there? You know, another Honda up on the podium, really nice for Honda, of course, and a great moment for him.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy, and, Cal is a great guy, and he has been testing in Sepang, so this maybe gave him some good motivation. He's one of the funniest guys in the paddock, and he's a good guy, really, really happy for him and for Lucid. It is hard work, and I know that for the satellite team, a podium is something very, very special.
48-point lead in the championship, one hand on it, do you think?
Well, sure, it's better to have a 40-point advantage than disadvantage, but for sure it's very early. We still have a lot of races, 10 races to go, nine races now. It means everything can happen, so let's go in the summer break with some good mood, but don't think it's finished. We need to keep focus.
Good stuff. 3 week break. What do you do for your break, Livio?
A couple of weeks on the beach, and that's it.
Good man. Well, you enjoy it. I'll take that from you. We don't want to record what you do in your holidays. Take care of yourself. Congratulations. Let's hear from Cal Crutchlow now, shall we? Here he is.
Cal, congratulations. After all the disappointments and bad luck that you've come through this year, today you played a blinder, didn't you?
I don't know about playing a blinder. I don't know how I stayed on the first 8 laps of the race because we obviously took the hard option front tyre. We used it in the morning warm-up and I was fast, but I couldn't get any heat into it in the race and it was really slippy in the race. I nearly crashed on the warm-up lap, actually. Difficult to manage, definitely difficult to manage, but I knew I'd come back through. I knew starting 13th on the grid was going to be difficult. I knew in the dry it was going to be difficult, but as I said yesterday, I was the fourth fastest man this weekend. I felt good, I felt up there. I felt we shouldn't have qualified where we qualified. I was disappointed with that. But I think we just showed what we're capable of, and if we can continue that sort of form. I was able to push, I took some risks, but why not? I have nothing to lose. Lucio said to me this morning, you finished the race. I said, mate, I'm going down. In the last 5 laps, I didn't care. I had to push. Obviously, Dovi with the cut intermediate front was able to just push on the outlap a little bit better than me. But yeah, obviously, I'm honestly really, really pleased for my whole team. We've worked hard. Honda have worked very hard as well to improve the bike, to get us back up there. It's not an easy bike to ride at the moment, but they're trying, and that's all they can do. So obviously disappointed that Lucy can't be here. My first podium of the year, and you know, she's been with me for 9 years at races. She missed the Argentina one, and then she's missed this one, but I crashed in Argentina, but this one got on the podium, so can't wait to get home and see her and the baby that's inside waiting to come out.
You talk about making hard decisions. You went with the harder wet tyre. What about making the decision to come in and have the slick tyres there? Was that a pre-decided decision before the start of the race, or was it suck it and see?
Honestly speaking, I should have came in earlier, but I didn't know. I didn't look my pit board. Honestly, I didn't think anybody would come in. I didn't think there was anybody out there on that track with slicks on. And obviously, I followed Dovi and Valle, two really experienced guys in those conditions. I caught them at a good pace. But I just stayed with them, and I came in when they came in. And I was actually not going to come in. I just swung in the last moment. But Dovi was able to push in that outlap with that cut front. But I should have came in earlier, but I just never looked my pit board. Not really a mistake, because I believe we still could have won the race even if we were with, you know, if I continued to go around. I think it was only six laps that I had to hold on. But I don't know what lap time people were doing. So, you know, it's always a gamble. I did the best job I could. I finished second and never won. But, you know, obviously we're pleased with our weekend.
We saw you on the phone there. I'm assuming that was Lucy. What did she have to say? And obviously the next time we're going to see you after the summer break, you'll be a dad. So exciting times. What were Lucy's words there?
Obviously she thought it was someone else calling her because it wasn't my phone for a start. But then obviously it was great to speak to her. As I said, I missed having her here this weekend. But yeah, she just obviously said it was great. I don't think she watched it. She wouldn't really watch it. She didn't watch it when she's here particularly. So, but yeah, it was nice to be able to speak to her. I have a test now after Austria, so I don't even get to go straight home. But I might just go take a plane home, to be honest, if we can get away with it.
Win for Cav, win for your second place for yourself. We'll count it as much as a victory as well. Great day for the Isle of Man as well. Congratulations, Cal, and all the best for the summer break. It's going to be a testing time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll come to the next race for some sleep, I think. Cheers, guys. Cal. Thank you.
You can say goodbye to sleep. Lucy at home preparing the greatest prize of all, of course, a new baby on its way now. Just was earwigging Danilo Petrucci's interview there, and Scott Redding coming down the stairs to join him as well. Scott not too happy with this fourth place, but Danilo was saying, you know, I'm happy enough with what's gone on this weekend. I've proven here in Assen that I can handle the wet. So he's finding positives.
A lot of positives this weekend. He qualified fourth, his best ever qualifying position. It set the same time as Valentino Rossi, who was on the front row. I mean, and was fast all weekend. It wasn't like he held his breath for a lap. Every session he was quick. We know he's quick in the wet. So a lot of confidence, especially after the missing, how many rounds did he miss? Four or five rounds at the start of the season with that terrible hand injury.
Yeah, he does excite you. Yeah. It was great when he got into the lead. The crowd really lifted, didn't it?
Yeah, I had him. One of the guys on the pit wall said, who's to win? I said, Petrucci. And, you know, it was just, he goes good in the wet. And just had a little unfortunate incident, but here he goes to the front. Once he got to the front, the place lit up.
He is one of those riders that excites the crowd, excites the fans, isn't he?
He's really down to earth. He's not come the conventional route through Moto 3, you know, Moto 2. He didn't start racing when he was really young. He's not had the silver spoon upbringing. He's a proper working class lad who's down to earth, and he's a pleasure to interview and talk to.
Like you did? Did you have the silver spoon upbringing?
No, working class lad.
He ate with his hands.
Now you had the silver spoon, Colin. Come on.
No, I disagree.
No.
I'm just looking at Scott joining them for interviews there at the moment, and, you know, he's probably obviously pretty upset.
It's the highs and lows of our sport, and that's why we love it, because the highs are so high, and he was within touching distance of feeling the ultimate high, And that's what we're witnessing now. He's stood here, 5 feet away from me, and that's the ultimate low, when it's so close.
But it's great. It's good for him. It's good for British motorsport that he's got these high expectations for himself. You want to have British riders who think they should be on the podium.
Yeah, absolutely. And you heard what he said. You know, he just went out. He got a bad, terrible start, went and got in a rhythm and just built that confidence and got faster and faster. And I mean, he put in a good ride. I mean, right there at the end, okay, little mistake with the tires, his fault, team fault. You don't know what their plan was, so... but he just got pipped right here coming off the waterfall turn. Just didn't have quite the traction, and Dovey went right around him.
Yeah, those intermediates just going off. It's so frustrating to watch, isn't it? Because you can see it happening, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
There's nothing anyone can do. And when you come into the pits, like he said, you can't speak to your team. So the team had made the decision to put the intermediates on. And at the time, it did seem like the right decision. But obviously, he came in quite early later on, and the intermediates have lost grip, and they're 2 seconds a lap slower than a slick.
Well, the man who made the perfect decision at the perfect time was Marc Márquez. He's with Gaff.
Mark, congratulations on the win. Who is it who has the crystal ball in your team? Because you always seem to be able to judge the right moment, the right tyres as well when you came in. Who made the decision about coming in and the slick tyres as well? Was it something you'd prepared before the race?
Yeah, of course. Before the race, you try to speak about all the possibilities that you can have on the race. But honestly, when it's in that conditions, the rider must to take the last decision because they don't know how is the track, they don't know how is your feeling. And when I saw more or less that was the time, okay, it was early. This time was early, but you know, with the wet tires, I was struggling a lot because I chose the wrong front tire, the extra soft. Because I saw that Valentino, Jorge and Dani choose the extra soft. So I say I go to the same direction, but for my riding style was not the tire. For that reason also I did a mistake on turn 8 again on the race, but I was struggling for that reason, no, because it was the extra soft, the track was getting drier and drier, and yeah, when I changed to slick then I start to feel the bike again, and I start to push.
Tell me about those first one or two laps on slick tires coming out of the pits, because you made up so much time just on those quick out laps.
Yeah, you know, the flag to flag always, you know, I'm able to manage quite well, but this time was really critical because when I go out, I think Espargaró or Paul go out on the same lap and he cries because turn one, turn three, turn seven, I think, no, turn nine, sorry, was still completely wet and was really difficult to manage and was a very, very small dry line. And, you know, you were really stiff because as soon as you go out, you feel that the bike was moving. And the key, I don't know, was to try to be on the dry line.
Mark, you go into the summer break now with a 48-point advantage. You've doubled it here in this race. Could you have imagined? We're at the halfway point of the season. We're going into the big run after the summer break. Could you imagine you'd be in this position?
Of course, I couldn't imagine, no? And you know, it's so great to have this advantage on the championship because in these last two races, I opened a lot the gap. And you know, this gives me a good confidence. And you know, after a good first part of the season and after a good race, I will be on the swimming pool. Quiet. Yeah, will be better, no, this summertime.
Mark, I'd love to say it's the first time we've seen you run off track and win a race, but it isn't. We've seen it before. I'm sure we'll see it again. Congratulations. Brilliant performance. Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
It was lucky he was in the swimming pool for most of that race. So wet at the Saxon Ring for most of the day today. Now, Keith and Jules, well, you can understand, we're so excited for the bulk of that race. Not only do they commentate, but they also have something of a third eye on what happens out there during the three races over the three classes. So, boys, what did you see today? What's your spot?
Well, I don't know about a third eye, but plenty of arguments going on in here, of course, about tyres and who chose what and at the right timing of it. But let's forget about all of that for a moment, because there are one or two other rumours that are coming from down in pit lane. There was a brand new rule that was passed this week regarding... if you may have seen the flag to flag, you may have seen a mechanic holding the clutch in with the motorcycle already running, the one that they were going to jump across from, and therefore the rider grabs the clutch and lets the clutch out. Well, there's been a new rule that says you'll get an immediate penalty if you are caught not engaging the gear yourself. The rider must engage the gear himself. That's a new rule. It's been I've got it in front of me here, and I will be tweeting that in a moment. It's very important. Now, one man that we thought had the mechanic holding his clutch in was this man, Marc Márquez. When he came in to get those slick tyres, just watch. Has he got the clutch in? He's holding the clutch in. Now, you see, it was already in gear. Now, that was already in gear. It's a rule that the rider must engage that gear himself, Jules. That looks fairly clear to me.
And certainly in warm-up this morning, they rehearsed it most definitely 100% with the mechanic holding the clutch in, no question.
The reason for the rule, just in case you're wondering, is, of course, is anything can happen. If somebody kicks his hand off of it, of course, the mechanic's hand, then that motorcycle is launching into pit lane with oncoming motorcycles. Yep. So you've got a major problem. Let's take another look at it then, shall we?
This is this morning.
This is this morning. So there's the mechanic holding the clutch, and he's holding it in, clearly. He's holding
it
in.
With his thumb.
That is now illegal. There will be an immediate penalty for that, and then the rider releases it. This communique has gone out to all the teams. It's in the IRTA office. I don't believe they'll take the race away from him or give him penalty. I don't believe that because I don't believe it.
I can see penalty points on his licence for it.
And a fine,
but not 10 seconds, I'll say, which would give Crutchlow the win.
But you can be fairly sure somebody somewhere... What's amazed me is it's taken them this long to actually notice that riders were doing that in the first place, because they've all been doing it since we've had flag to flags. They've been rehearsing that situation.
Dangerous as hell, yeah. Somebody gets their hand knocked off a clutch, you launch a motorcycle up pit lane.
So that's what we spotted with our third eye, Craig, here in our commentary box. We've got lots of monitors here, which you can't see, that we do keep an eye on you as well when you're performing down in pit lane. But from an overall point of view, Jules, three cracking races today at Sachsenring. It hasn't disappointed.
Marquez's first win since Texas, since the third round of the year. And he's 48 points in the lead.
But he is the master of the German Grand Prix. That's the seventh successive win he's had across the classes here at Sachsenring. He's made it all his own. When we didn't think he could do it, nobody thought he could do it with the way things were running for Honda.
Yeah, boys, I realise technically a fifth eye with the two of you in there, but in sports broadcasting, we call it the third eye. What's your take on it, lads?
Really interested in that. And them two, they do not miss a trick. I'm so impressed that they spotted that. I mean, I guess the argument could possibly be on Mark Marcus's side is, the clutch was in, but it wasn't in gear. You know, how do you prove that? Because then you need a separate camera looking at his foot. Was it in gear or not? I was just trying to think of get-outs for them.
Yeah, and I mean, possibly, okay, he's just holding the clutch in because, he does a little cat thing. He jumps over. Maybe he's going to hit it in gear, so the guy just has the clutch engaged. Anyways,
and that would be your argument.
That would be your argument.
On the opposite side, for safety.
Yeah, and, we used to do it every flag.
There we go. We've sussed it. We've sussed the excuse out anyway for them. Shall we now sell the excuse to them?
Yeah, let's go. Every flag to flag I've ever done, it was always in gear. Mechanic was holding the clutch. You jump on the bike and you go.
And it's sketchy. That is sketchy, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, the fact is, he deserved to win the race. He was absolutely fantastic. It was pretty dramatic in Moto2 as well. This is how it all finished up. And the reigning world champion, Johan Zarco, showing all his class, timing things to absolute perfection, just holding off the challenge of local boy Jonas Folger on the line here at Sachsenring. It's really exciting stuff. Julian Simon coming in third place. Not a good day for Sam Lowes, unfortunately. And they've had a tough few days here. They had the worst of the weather on Friday on the 600s and the worst of the weather this morning too. This is what happened.
Zarco under pressure, the Frenchman under pressure from the German. This is going to be a special kind of finish to this race. So Zarco turns into the penultimate corner then. It's turn 12. Oh, hang on a minute. Maybe we got something happening at turn 13, the final corner. Folger looks at it. He goes for it. Folger goes up the inside. Does he pull it down to the apex? It's only a short squirt to the line. And I think Folger may just have it.
No, Johan was too clever.
Zarco managed to get the cut back and outthought Jonas Folger. What a finish to Moto2.
I wish you could have seen Jonas's reaction as he saw Zarco come back at him there a minute ago, nearly throwing the microphone away. Yeah. Overall, great result for you. Congratulations. How are you feeling about
it? Thank you. No, I'm really happy about the podium here in Germany, especially because it's my home race. And yeah, I had to try it at the last corner, and I was pretty sure that I'm gonna win the race. But I tried to keep the line really tight, so he couldn't. So I slow him down at the middle of the corner, but somehow he could manage to exit better than me.
He's a smart world champion, isn't he, Johan? He really is.
At the moment, he's the strongest guy.
Yeah. Let's reflect on your race for a moment. Great race from you. Great start. Held the lead early on, and looked in a really good position.
Yeah, it was a tough race, especially at the beginning. I pushed really hard on the new tire. I had a really good feeling, and then at the middle of the race, I didn't have the pace of the guys just at the middle of the race on used tires, and they took a lot of risk. Also, Alex Rins later he crashed, so Yeah, they took a lot of risk, especially at the middle of the race, and I just tried to stay cool and save some energy and just try to build up a better rhythm, especially at the end of the race.
I mean, that was obviously a conscious thing. You felt you just had to ease off a little bit, because there were a lot of crashes in front of you. Were guys just pushing it too hard in the way?
I saw also Alex and also Taka and all the guys. They had many big moments, many big slides, and also me. So before I start the race, I told myself I just tried to make my own speed and don't do anything crazy, and it worked out.
It certainly wasn't a crazy moment right on turn 13. A lovely, lovely move. Shall we look at it again? Do you want to see it?
Sure, yeah.
Talk us through it. So get us into your mind and let's look at those final moments again. Tell us what was happening.
Yeah, I took a really wide line and I just tried to stay really, really early on the throttle. I had a small moment there and then I just tried it. I was really on the limit on the brakes, and just here at the moment I thought I slowed him down too, but he was able to open earlier than me, so.
You know, drive out of there.
I couldn't help but notice, obviously, you know, you didn't take the bait in the middle of the race when everybody was crashing and crashing. You knew your pace, you knew what you were comfortable with doing. Yeah. It looked like right at the end, it looked like Zarco had a good section, a good few corners, and then you had a good section over here. Y'all kind of had a little accordion working.
Exactly. Yeah, he was really fast at especially T3. I had really many issues with my rear tire. I had a really less grip and I just tried to, I just closed the eyes at the last lap. I thought if I didn't improve my last lap, I'm not close enough. So at the last sector, I was faster than him and I tried it, but.
Yeah, just about that much short.
Yes.
you can tell he's a popular man around here. The camera flash is going off. Let's talk about you in the championship. It's your second podium, of course, 83 points, joint sixth place. It's going okay. Johan Zarco just dominating things. But how do you feel about it as an overview of your championship?
Yeah, it was really important for me, this second place. Really important points, because the last few races we were struggling a lot. And it's really important for the championship. I think the next races that we have, I love the next races, the next tracks, the next circuits. Spielberg is really nice, Austria GP. I was there already and took a look at the track. So I think it's a really good motivation going into the summer break with a second position.
And just before you go, has anyone from Tech 3 grabbed yourself and Mr. Zarco and said more of that next year, please, boys?
Yeah, Herve was really happy. I saw him when I was on the podium. I saw him smiling all over his face. So yeah, I think we're gonna have a good team next year.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations. Have a good break.
Thanks.
Enjoy yourself. Take care of yourself. Well done. Yeah. Let's reflect on Moto3. It was absolutely pouring rain. We thought we might get a few surprises. We certainly did.
Up to the line comes Kyrel Idem-Pauwe to start the last lap then. Number 89, Kyrel Idem-Pauwe has done an absolutely fantastic job here. The Honda Team Asia man will see the checker flag for the second time in his career. His team are on the fence. It is Kyrel Idem-Pauwe that wins the German Moto3 Grand Prix. That is a great wet weather race.
Kyrel grinning away here, almost as much as his Team Asia boss, Tadej Okada. Congratulations. Do you enjoy looking back at that?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Talk us through your race, because when you woke up this morning, you saw so much rain out in that track. I mean, turn 11 and the waterfall looked really, really scary. Were you confident? Did you feel like it was going to be your day?
Yeah, in today's race, I don't thinking about the podium. I just thinking about the point, because I lose a lot in the three races before, also in the last race, two races.
This was the key moment in the race. It was around, I don't know, lap five, lap six, when you took the lead. What were you thinking around this time?
No, also when I passed in the front rider, also difficult for me, because like also fast in the front rider, I don't think I can go take a gap. I just consistent the time until the finish.
Well, we enjoy watching you racing so much, and we love watching your reactions. Have a really good break, and we'll see you in Austria. Thank you very much, guys. Well done. Okay, let's just check out the state of the championship at the halfway mark in the World of Moto 3. And Brad Binder, steady enough day from him. Actually, another smart ride from him today. He didn't get mixed up in anything that would get him into trouble. He bagged a few points. He's got a sufficient enough lead that he really doesn't need to force things. 159 points, and he's fairly much in control going into the second half of the season. Jorge Navarro, brave from him. Don't forget, two brakes in his left leg, 10 left-handers on this track, but still he went out there and he gave it a fairly good belt. And Romano Fanati does not like the rain. Simples. Very quickly, championship, 48-point lead. Has Marc Márquez got one hand on it?
Yes, definitely.
I think he has two.
Ooh, yeah. That's a big one.
I mean, he's, as long as he doesn't do anything stupid, I don't see anybody closing 48 points.
Yeah, he's not a fella who does stupid things these days. Really good racing this weekend. I hope you enjoyed it. Enjoy the three-week break from MotoGP. Until we meet again in Austria, from all of us here, bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.